reading from Chaitanya Bhagavata. It's continuing classes that are given in various places in India. Now we're in Vrindavan, in the holy abode of Srila Prabhupada's divine Bhajankuti and Ramanreti. We're continuing with chapter 19 of Madhya Kanda. Before we enter deeply into these, it's only 3 days class. In December we were in Mayapur last. For 1 month we gave class in the Panchatattva lecture hall upstairs. There's something in Nectar Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in the Dakshin Vibhag, Southern Wave, it discusses the Anubhavs and Vibhavs, etc. In chapter 5 it talks Stahibhav. Stahibhav means the permanent mellow of love in our heart, which we come to know about at the level of Ruchi. We have some idea, Ruchi and Asakti. What is our relationship, our individual loving relationship with Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, becomes revealed at that point. And then becomes more fully realized as we develop to the level of Bhava. In that section of Stahibhav, in verse 102 up to 132, it's chapter 5 in the southern division of Nectar Devotion. And in Prabhupada's Nectar Devotion, that comes to be the end of chapter 32. If you want to be specific, in Prabhupada's Nectar Devotion, it's chapter 32. It's actually chapter 5 in Nectar of Devotion, Stahibhav, Dakshin Vibhag, Southern Ocean. So he talks about Stahibhav, and this is at the level of Bhava. When we come to the level of Bhava Bhakti, now we're in Sadhana Bhakti, Vaidhi Sadhana, Raghunuga Sadhana, then there's Bhava, then Prema. And Bhav, then we can start to experience the different aspects of Vibhav. Who is Krishna? Who is the Nayak and the Nayaka, the hero and the heroine? This is called the Alambana. Then there's the Udipana, the different environmental stimuluses. Krishna plays his flute and has a certain reaction on Mother Yashoda, another reaction on the Yamuna, another reaction on the Govardhan Hill, another reaction on the hearts of the gopis, depending on their Stahibhav. When Mother Yashoda hears Krishna's flute, that becomes an Udipana. Udipana means a stimulant, an excitant. It excites her Stahibhav. Stan, Stahi. That permanent love that's situated in her heart, which in Mother Yashoda's case is Vatsalya Bhav, motherly love, parental affection. So Krishna plays the same flute and she hears it, and she hears that flute, oh yes, Krishna's, I hear that flute, he's very safe. He's not in any danger. There are no demons harassing Krishna or attacking Krishna, he's safe. But now Krishna plays the flute, and there are other personalities in Vrindavan, the rocks of Govardhan, of course, that's Krishna, that is Krishna himself. And the rocks of Govardhan, when they hear Krishna's flute, because their rasa, sometimes it's described that the trees and the ground and the plants and rocks, they're enchantaras. But of course we also know that Giridhari is Madhuriyaras. But when Giridhari hears the same flute of Krishna, then Giridhari melts. He melts with ecstatic feelings. He can't maintain his form. Yamuna hears the flute and flows backwards. When the demigoddess is flying in the sky in the airplanes with their husbands, when they hear Krishna's flute, then their hearts start to melt with attraction. Their hair becomes undone, the flowers fall from their hair. Very interesting side point. I read one commentary in Bhagavatam. All of us that read Krishna book, the 10th canto, we come to understand that whenever Krishna does something wonderful, whether it's killing demons, well, usually it's killing demons, and everyone is elated and overjoyed with his victory. To celebrate his victory, there are always showers falling from the sky. You must have read that hundreds of times. When Krishna kills a demon, then the demigods are showering flowers from the sky. Have you ever heard this expression? Demigods showering flowers from the sky. It sounds familiar? But generally, we try to visualize, what does that mean? Does that mean there's a bunch of lorries driving? The demigods have a bunch of lorries, or what we say in America, pickup trucks, or they have a bunch of empty trucks. They're driving around with trucks full of flowers in the sky, like dump trucks. You know, these trucks, it goes like this. It has a hydraulic lift, and it goes like this, and everything falls out. So the demigods are in the sky, and Krishna kills a demon, and they press the button, and it lifts up, and all the flowers, whoosh. Or sometimes now, if someone comes to Radhakund, when we were doing the cleaning, all the devotees were cleaning Radhakund. Then someone came with a helicopter and then opened up the bottom of the helicopter and all these flowers fell onto Kankankund. One afternoon, it happened a couple of times, we saw it was falling on all the devotees. So we think that the demigods are in the sky and Krishna does a marvelous feat of killing some demon. And then they have big dumpers. They have big dumpers, and all the Gandharvas drive these big dumpers in the heavenly planets. And when Krishna does something marvelous, they press a button, and all the flowers fall out. But one acharya says, what is happening is those flowers that Krishna is getting showered upon, so many countless number of times, it says the demigods are showering flowers on Krishna's head after he kills Agasura and Prolambasura and Putana, etc., etc. Those are actually the flowers falling from the hair and the tresses of the demigods that are so amazed and overwhelmed by loving attraction of Krishna that their hair becomes loose, and their hair is loose, and the flowers in their hair. So that's what's falling on Krishna. As is told in the Bhagavatam, that when Krishna walks on the banks of the Yamuna during the Rasa Lila, then the Yamuna, with the hands of her waves, Sukadeva says, Yamuna, with the hands of her waves, she's offering lotus flowers at the feet of Krishna. Because the waves, the taranga, the waves of the Yamuna are her hands. We have a hand. We have pushpanjali. This is anjali, means hand. Anguli or anjali. We put flower in it and we go like this. And we offer flowers to the feet of Guru, Sri Guru or Sri Radha or Krishna. So how can Yamuna do that? What are the hands of the Yamuna? So her waves are her hands. So Krishna's one flute is having all these different responses. So this is called Udipan, Krishna's sound of Krishna's flute. And then there's the Vibhav, then there's these are Vibhav. Then Anubhav are the feelings that are aroused when one experiences the hero and heroine, and then certain kinds of changes in the heart, and they registered in the body. In this section of Stayibhav, Nectar Devotion, Chapter 5, there's one, in verse 132, it says, Sadharani Karan. It says Swapara Sambandha. Swapara Sambandha Vibhav. There's one verse. It says Swapara Sambandha. What this means is, and the translation is, that when someone of this plane, Swa, my I mix my feelings, para sambandha, with the feelings of another. Like we say, parakiya bhav, you've heard of this term. Swakiya bhav, parakiya. Swakiya means my own wife. Parakiya means belonging to another. Swakiya means belonging to me, or doing to me. So we say that Radha and Krishna have a parakiya sambandha, parakiya relationship. Radharani belongs to another. She is married to Abhimanyu, the so-called husband. So this relationship is called Parakiya. So Swapara Sambandha, he's saying, Rupa Goswami is saying in Saibhav chapter, that what happens is that we mix our feelings, when a sadhaka, that on our plane, when we mix our feelings with the feelings of another, there's something called Sadharani Shakti. In the verse, this word is used, Sadharani Shakti. Sadharani means, the word Sadharani means generalization or common. And Shakti means power. There's a power, like we say, there's a power in the heart of the pure devotees. And when we hear Hari Katha from an advanced devotee, then that Sadharani Shakti, that Shakti of his Bhav, if he's on a level of Bhava, if he's on the level of Bhava, then the Bhavas of his heart become reflected in our hearts. There's one section of Nectar Devotion, Prabhupada talks about shadow attachment. shadow attachment. When you associate with a very advanced devotee, for a moment you feel very advanced, or you experience very light feelings or very high consciousness. But then when you leave his association and come into the world of the outer world or the external world, then that reflection dissipates or it evaporates, because it's only a reflection. It's not coming from within you. It's not self-generated bhav. It's reflected. So when you're out of the association, then it leaves. So this is what we call in English, it's called vicarious enjoyment. For those that don't know English so well, I'll give you an example. If you attend a drama, or of course drama is old-fashioned, but you go to a movie, which we don't do, but maybe we have done, people have done, people do, and you get and you see a movie, there's a hero and a heroine, that's a nayak and a nayak, that means the alambana vibhav. And there's so many activities, and you're identifying fully, a woman might be identifying with the heroine, and then she's watching all the different scenes and she's feeling the emotions, the happiness, the sadness, the fear, the lamentation, the bereavement that the heroine is going through in a movie, at different scenes of the movie. So in this example of watching a movie, a drama, or a play, then we're identifying with the hero or heroine, and that's how we get the richest experience from that movie. We may laugh when the heroine laughs, oh, and then our husband may be sleeping. It's an air-conditioned theater, and he's worked all day, he's tired, he's sleeping. He's saying, hey, wake up, don't you? Look what's going on, look at the... He goes, oh, yeah. The wife is crying when the heroine is crying, laughing when the... So this is called generalization. This is Sadharani, that Sadharani Shakti, that this is the power in the heart of those actors and actresses, the power of their feelings, because we have some feelings. We are people of feelings. We can feel bereavement. We can feel lamentation. We can feel fear. We can feel trepidation and wonder and fear and vivatsa and bhayam. All these things we can feel because we're living beings and we have our own experiences in our daily emotional exchanges. So we see this in a movie, and we're totally absorbed, and we actually become the hero or the heroine. It's only light flickering on a screen, but it's deep. But it's we don't see it. It's light anymore. That's me. I'm the heroine. Oh, the hero slapped. Oh, how could he do that? Oh, and someone says, "What is this? It's only a movie." But we're fully identifying with it. So Rupa Goswami is explaining in the Stahibhav chapter 5. In this Dakshin Vibhag, Southern Division of Nectar Devotion, verse 132, I think so. But Sadharani Shakti, there is power of generalization. So the sages are saying when the sadhaka mixes his feelings with the feelings of the hero or the heroine in a particular lila, Gaur lila or Krishna lila, then those feelings are reflected, just as you, like in the movie. But in the movie, you're experiencing material rasa. There's experience. You're crying. You're really crying. There's a real crying. You're really crying, and you're really laughing, and really you're sweating when the hero is running from the tiger, and you're sweating also because you're so much afraid the hero might get eaten by that tiger in this jungle scene that you're watching in the movie. This is absorption. It's called absorption in the drama in the lila. And this is material. When one comes to the level, so this is what happens, there's a division where bhavamayi bhakti becomes rasamayi bhakti. Bhavamayi rasami, we talk about bhakti ras, bhakti rasami to Sindhu. Rupa Goswami is the first one that's actually explained how can one experience ras. The analysis of ras is explained by the ancient sages. Bharat Muni, this person Bharat Muni, wrote Natya Shastra. Rupa Goswami studied Natya Shastra. It's the scripture on drama about Udipan, Vibhav, Alambana, Vibhav, Anubhav, Vyavachari Bhav, Sanchari Bhav, Stayi Bhav. These are all the sum and substances of bhava, of rasa. They all mix together and create rasa. So we want to also experience rasa. But in Bharat Muni's description of the analysis of ras, these are the factors of ras. These five factors combined, Stayi Bhav, Alambana Vibhav, Anubhav, Vyavachari, they combine to produce the experience of material ras, happiness, lamentation, fear, joy, ecstasy. It comes and goes. And these same factors are what goes to produce bhakti ras. But bhakti ras is actually experienced on the level of bhava. When one comes to the level of bhava bhakti, then he reads Krishna's lila, Gaur lila, and he should not read it just as, I'm reading a book. I'm studying, I'm reading. He should enter deeply into the hearts of the characters. In a particular lila, there are some characters presented here. So you can you can choose your identity, who you want to identify with. It's not a hungropasana. It's not that I'm becoming Lord Chaitanya now, or I'm becoming Sachimata. But I'm identifying with them and their feelings in this lila. I am the servant. I'm the sadaka. And maybe I'm identifying with their feelings because I'm also there witnessing. I'm witnessing. If you're in a movie, you're a witness. You're in the movie. You're in the chair. The movie is made in 1927 India during a British period. And you're sitting in a chair in a multiplex in 2009 in Dubai, or whatever, or Dow, or wherever you live. And you're watching, but the scene is 1927 Calcutta, or the movie of this Akbar and this Hindu queen and all these things. But you're crying and you're right there. You've gone back to 1927 or you've gone back to 15th century and you're experiencing it. So this is, we do this every time we watch a movie if we're serious about getting our, quote, money's worth. But what about Shastra? We're surrounded by Leela Shastra. This is a preliminary just to enter Gaur Leela. This, we're dropping in on the end of this particular chapter. But I wanted to set the stage by conveying that this is a powerful means that really starts to work. It actually works at the level of bhava. When we come to the level of bhava, this sadharani shakti, the heart of, it's called being tadatmika. Tadatmika. One with that. I become one with the heart of your heart becomes my heart. I enter into your heart and understand how you feel. This is the art of loving. If anyone wants to learn the art of loving, he has to learn the art. It's almost like a jadu, like a magician. To actually love, you have to learn the art of entering into the heart of another person. How do they feel? How do they think? What do they desire? But most people are operating out of base zero, which means selfishness. So only one out of millions and millions of people in this world actually know the art of loving. This is the Sadharani Shakti aspect, is that one learns how to enter the heart of the Nityaparishads of Krishna. Of course, we do that by lifetime of service, by lifetime of surrender, and by the Kripa, by their Kripa. But interestingly enough, Rupa Goswami is using this term in this chapter 5, Sadharani Shakti. There is potency in this principle of generalization. When swapara sambandha, when we mix our feelings with the feelings of someone who's in Krishna's lila by submission. We have submission with a petition for admission. We have submission with a petition for admission. We're submitting ourselves at the heart of the eternal associates and we're begging them, submitting them, and we're petitioning them or begging them for permission to enter the lila as a servant. As a supporter, we're also a support. We also become an udipan, or a support of the lila, by nourishing it and help it go forward. We'll hear some different lilas a little bit today and over the next 2 days, and maybe in the future we'll continue wherever we are with this idea. But we can take away this teaching to approach Shastra in a different way. Because the Gaudiya Sampradaya primarily introduces philosophy through lila. And first we introduce philosophy through lila, and then the lila takes us to perfection. Philosophy takes us to the lila, and lila takes us to perfection, because the lila, the perfection is prem seva. But to enter the lila, we have to have philosophy. So in other groups, in other Vaishnava groups, they teach the path to perfection through philosophy. The path to perfection is through philosophy, but our path to perfection in Gaudiya Sampradaya is lila. But that lila is interspersed and interwoven with philosophy. It says ras and tattva, tattva vichar and rasa vichar. And this is what Sanatana Goswami is saying in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. This is the basis of philosophy. If we want to compare and contrast any philosophy or any religious system in the world, then the only real, genuine way to differentiate is on a basis of rasa. Rasa. Because if you say, oh, Rama is God, yes, Rama is God. Nisringa is God, yes, Nisringa is God. Krishna is God, yes, Krishna is God. Narayana is God, yes, Narayana is God. It's all one, it's all God. Then you can't have any basis of comparison and contrast. And you can't establish the supremacy or the superiority of one over the other if you only stay on the level of tattva. Because they're all Vishnu tattva. They're all Bhagavat tattva. They're all absolute. But then when you go into the category of ras, then all the vast differences start to manifest. Rasaraj Sri Krishna. He is an unlimited emporium. Dear Ali, dear Prashant, dear Odatan, dear Odatan. And all the different aspects. Then you start to line them up and, okay, Vishnu, then you put Vishnu on the top, then next to him Krishna, then Ram, then you put on the subcategories of Ras. Then you see all blanks, so many blanks going down the vertical column. How many Rasas with his devotees? Blank, 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 blank. How many Udipans? How many? And then it becomes, this Narayan column here is a very narrow representation, an incomplete representation of the absolute truth. There's so many blanks in the columns. If you want to do a column-wise, everyone likes charts. You make a chart. Put all across the top, all the Bhagavan, Narayan, the Sringa, then down the side, Viva, Nanabhav, Rasa, devotees, and exchanges, and you see. Well, Sanatana Goswami is doing this in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. This is his method of analysis. The Bhagavatam presents all the forms of... It's the Bhagavat and Bhagavatam. Ram is there, Nisringa is there, Narayan is there. All the different Bhagavata is there in the Bhagavatam. Finally coming to Ras in the chapter Rasaraj in 10th canto. So it's vast, it's difficult, you get lost. There's so many sub-stories and minor stories, you forget what's actually being told here. Sanatana Goswami synthesizes it, he squeezes it. He cooks down the milk to make burfi, like our Bhuvaneshwar, right? It starts off boo, 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 burfi. It starts off with milk, and it first is boo, that's milk. Then it becomes condensed milk, and that's bhuva, bhuvarswa. Om bhur bhuvarswa, burfi. So Bhuvaneshwar takes the milk and makes burfi. You know, this burfi is too much. I haven't seen it in years, but I have memories. So this is what Sanatana Goswami is taking the Bhagavatam, and he said, listen, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, understand how Krishna is supreme. How is he Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam? This is the Paribhasa Sutra of the Bhagavatam, 1.3.28. Third chapter 28, where it's establishing all these avatars. Okay, Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. And he shows it's on the basis of Ras through the story of Gopa Kumar in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So we want to experience this Rasamayi Bhakti. We come to the level of Bhava. Now I'm at the level of Bhava, and I have all these nine symptoms of Bhava, which you can see in Nectar Devotion. I don't waste any time, intense ruchi for chanting the holy name, living in a holy place. All these things come in us at the level of Bhava. Now we can begin to appreciate Vibhava and Alambana. But that's called Bhava Bhakti. But there's a vast hierarchy. It's not just a static position. It's static going to ecstatic, and then to super ecstatic. It's just like Krishna is. We say Krishna is Purna, Purnatara, Purnatam. There's Krishna in Mathura, and Krishna in Dwarka, and Krishna, there's Krishna in Vrindavan. But the Krishna in Gokul is not the same as Krishna in Chatikar, and the Krishna in Chatikar is not the same as Krishna in Nandagram. And the Krishna in Nandagram is not the same as Krishna in Vamshivat. And the Krishna in Vamshivat is not the same as the Krishna in Radhakund. That's the extent of the hierarchy as it gets deeper and deeper and thicker and more refined. And that's all on the level of us. Bhava Bhakti is the beginning. Now we're at the level of Bhava Bhakti, but still we're not tasting Ras. That Bhakti Ras. That's when Bhava Bhakti becomes Rasamayi Bhakti. And Rasamayi Bhakti comes to the level, becomes Prema Mayi, Prema Ras. That's the perfection, Prema, Krishna Prema, Prema Ras. How do we go from Bhava Bhakti? Of course, you may be saying, how do we go from Mahaprasadam to chant our japa. Especially after Balaram's feast, everyone's feeling too much meditative mood. And if you speak all this high philosophy, I'll really meditate even sooner. But at any rate, how to go from Bhava Bhakti to Rasamayi Bhakti? No one is ever told. Although they talk about Bhava, all the different Vaishnavas, Nimbarks, etc. Only Rupa Goswami is giving the hint, which is developed later in Prem Bhakti Chandrika and obtuse way through different sutras and by other acharyas in the Sampradaya, Gaudiya Sampradaya. But the seed of that is given in this chapter 5 is Stayi Bhava. Because Stayi Bhava is at the level of Bhava Bhakti, and then he's explaining this Sadharani. This is it. This is the secret, devotees. There is Shakti and Sadharani. Sadharani means generalization. When we mix our heart with the hearts of the Bhava Bhaktas and Prema Bhaktis, which we have access to through the Leela. When we read Gaur Leela, we can enter the hearts of those premium Bhava Bhaktas, mostly Premi Bhaktas. And then there's power there. What is that power? That their para sambandha. It's theirs. Para sambandha means belonging to another, like parakia. That relationship which belongs to another. They have a Gopi Bhav. Lalita, Rupa Mantri, have a relationship of Gopi Bhav with Srimati Radhika. And we are swapara sambandha. We want that relationship that they have. We don't want to be Rupa Manjari, Ananga Manjari, but we want that relationship, that sambandha. We talk about sambandha, Amideya Prayojana. This is the meaning of sambandha. Sambandha comes to this level. This is Prem Sambandha. And Jiva Bhagavan Prem Sambandha. So there's Shakti in their hearts, and when we surrender and we identify and at the level of Bhava, then that Shakti comes from their heart, that Bhava enters our heart, then it excites, it mixes all the five ingredients of Bhava. The five ingredients of Bhava are the rasas. Stahi Bhava mixes with Vibhava, Ulipan and Alamban, and then it produces Anabhava, Vyavachari and Sattvic Bhavas. Then, when that mixture is there, then we experience Bhakti Ras. And this, then our devotion and our meditation and our chanting becomes Rasimayi Bhakti. And then that's all that's the hair standing in, and Nayanam Galadashi Daraya, Vananam Gadira Rudya Gira Pulakar Nichidambabu. This, all these things start to happen when we enter Rasamayi Bhakti. Before that, we can be on the level of Bhava Bhakti and say, look, I'm on the level of Bhava. See, look, I got the nine symptoms of Bhava. But I'm not experiencing what's happening. Because that Shakti hasn't come. So he said, this is the way. So we hear, so now, taking this down into the hearing the class in the or hearing about Gaur Leela or Krishna Leela, how do we do it? Okay, if we're on the level of Bhava, then we fully absorb ourselves. We hear the Leela and we start to identify with the heart of Advaita or the heart of Nityananda. And what are they feeling? What are the devotees feeling? Oh, Haridas is, what is he feeling now? And we're hearing, and they're revealing their hearts in the statements. And then we're praying for that mood to come inside of us. And then because we're already on Bhav, then we have the proper receptacle. Sometimes people, they advocate, it's called Sadharani Karan, this term is there in Nectar Dosh, Sadharani Karan, that the cause is this Sadharani, this generalization that is actually the cause of this Bhakti Ras coming. This is the Karan, the cause. That we can practice like this even when we're sadhakas, not at the level of Bhav. But Rupa Goswami says that this phenomenon really happens at the level of Bhava, when we can fully, easily practice. But in our stage of sadhakas, what I want to introduce or encourage is this is the direction we should go to. In other words, to become absorbed. Okay, we are on the level of Bhava. We have so much distraction. But generally, we read Shastra in a very passive way, in a very non-committal way, and not really absorbed. If someone was to make, we read one chapter from Chaitanya Bhagavat, now someone makes a movie of it, a really good movie, with really good actors, really pure-hearted actors, even maybe devotee actors, and good scenes and sets. Then we watch that movie. How much we get into it? How much? Because there's sound, there's sight, there's color, there's music, there's drama, there's crying. Oh, my Lord, Prabhu. And then they go away and say, wow, that's really something. I can't forget that Leela. Did you see the face of Haridas? And I mean, I really feel like you. I feel I can really feel what Haridas is feeling. So So we're so dull, it takes that much. It takes cinema and widescreen color and wraparound sound and so many things to get us going or get us absorbed. But in the old days, all they had was a book. They would open a book and say, here's Rasalila Panchadaya, the five chapters of Rasalila. Here's Gaur's Lila and Shantipur, the Vaita Bhavan. Hare Krishna. Oh, can you turn off the light? I'm tired. Okay. It's, you know, reading Shastra is like a sleeping pill or something. It's a sad comment because we're so manda samanda matteo. At least at the level of bhava, we'll feel that when we hold a Shastra in our hand, we'll feel that we're holding, we're like entering the land of that lila. We're entering the hearts of those parishads. And we're entering the very eternal pastimes of the Divine Lord and His associates. The Shastras will be our movie ticket. They will be our cinema screen and stage and movie ticket and seat and air-conditioned theater and sound and sight and screens and costumes and time frame and everything. All right. Let us begin. Now we're in Shantipur. Shantipur is very Shanti. It's a Shanti place. It's a very peaceful place. So it's such a nice place to chant Hare Krishna that Haridas Thakur, he stayed there a long time chanting the holy name in Shantipur. Awaitacharya had his home there, and his large estate was in Shantipur. And he had a small house, he had a weekend house, you could say, in Mayapur, nearby Mahaprabhu. It's a very small place. But his main place is, and his Shripat is in Shantipur, the main of his Sampradaya, Advaita Sampradaya. Very peaceful place, directly on the bank of the Ganga. Awaitacharya, of course everyone knows who he is, he's a member of the Panchatattva. Lord Chaitanya now is about, he's been initiated by Ishwarapuri. He hasn't taken sannyas yet, he's married. He was initiated when he was about 19 years old, about 20. And he's married, I believe, to Vishnu Priya at this time. And he started the Sankirtan movement. So Lord Chaitanya is 20 years old. He's not a sannyasi. He's in the Grihastha Ashram. Beautiful, long, flowing hair, lotus eyes, golden skin, and such attractive features, and kajal on his eyes, and some dots on his face, and looking beautiful, like Krishna with golden dhoti. Attracting everyone, the eyes of everyone. And it was his habit to visit the homes of his devotees during the day because he loves his devotees. And this is how we exchange love. We visit each other. And saints visit each other in their kutis. Rupa Goswami would come to Dwarasaditya Tila and visit Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana would go to Tarakadamba and visit Rupa and ask him, how is your bhajan? What are you writing today? And they would go, and then sometimes Rupa would go to Pavan Sarovar and visit Sanatana. And they would go like this. This is what sadhus do. Oh, how's everything? How's your bhajan? Are you writing? What are you writing now? What are your realizations? What experiences are you having? Can you give me some teachings? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was visiting the homes of his devotees on a daily basis. Sometimes he visits Shuklambara Brahmachari. Sometimes he would go to Gangadas Pandit's house. He would go to different devotees' houses. And they would do the things that devotees usually do. They would have some kirtan, sing some bhajans, Krishna bhajans, about Vrindavan. They wouldn't sing so much about Gaur-lila. Because they were Gaur-lila. They are Gaur-lila. Others would write about that and sing about Gaur-lila, but they were living it. They were in Gaur-lila. They are Gaur-lila. So they would sing Krishna bhajans, Astakali bhajans, and hear about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Then Gadadhar or some devotee would read the Bhagavatam, Prahlad Shiksha, or some Dhruva Traitra, or the prayers of Vrichasura, the sixth canto of Bhagavatam. And there'd be Nam Sankirtan, Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha, Gopala Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudan. And then Mahaprasadi Govinde, Prasadam, the natural Prasadam. Sleeping, This is Swapnavilas. Mahaprabhu would go to the banks of the Yamuna under Kadamba trees. Devotee, he would put his head on Gadadhar's lap, and some devotee, and Nityananda would massage his feet, or someone would massage him, and he would relax after the kirtan. And then go up and go to another devotee's house. Now, Dvaitacharya was often there, going from house to house and gathering together in the evening at Shiva Sangam for that special Rasamayi Kirtan, Rasalila Kirtans at Shiva Sangam, nightly affair. But Advaita was not happy in his heart. Because Advaita, he is in all his expansions, in all his manifestations of Ananta Shesh and Sarashiva and all the Jivas and all the different forms of Mahavishnu, he's nothing but a servant of a servant of the servant of Krishna. He's only rendering service to Sevananda. Advaita's, this is his, like Nityananda, Advaita's in the same mood. Through different expansions, he's serving the Lord. But whenever Advaita was with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu says, "Oh, Acharya ji, dandavat pranams, dandavat pranam." And he would come and touch his feet, say, "All glories to the Acharya, all glories to the Acharya, Advaita." Because Mahaprabhu is 20 years old, Advaita is 80 years old, 85 years old, thousands of disciples, famous teacher, famous guru, big satsang. Lord Chaitanya was still running with the cobras, playing with the cobras. Advaita is giving Bhagavat Sapta, speaking on Bhagavat. Famous Acharya, all over Navadvipa Mandal. Advaita Acharya, whole Sampradaya, Advaita Sampradaya. So compared to Advaita, Mahaprabhu is feeling, "I am nothing." And Advaita understands, Mahaprabhu, this is Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahayanya. He is none other than Radha and Krishna. And everyone else is touching Mahaprabhu's feet. Everyone else is worshipping Mahaprabhu. Everyone else is serving Mahaprabhu. But Mahaprabhu won't take any. I can't serve Mahaprabhu. There's no chance I can serve Mahaprabhu. Always he treats me like his master. I'm his Prabhu. Oh, Acharya Prabhu. Acharya Prabhu. Acharya Prabhu. Dondavad, Dondavad. Always respect, always honor, always giving me the seat of honor. And directing everyone, "Yes, the Acharya, Acharya is here." I can't stand it. I also want to have that humble service. I want to be treated as a servitor. I don't want special treatment. I don't want the big maha plate, the big seat, big fan. I just want to be a servant of the servant. I want to be one of servants, Mahaprabhu's Gaura Bhaktas. I can't stand it. What can I do? I have to do something to get the favor of Mahaprabhu so that he accepts my junior position. And Advaita thought, I will go to Shantipur. I will gather some students. I will put up an announcement. And after Mangalartik, I'll make an announcement. To a nice class, Advaita Acharya giving class on Yoga Vashishta. I will speak on Yoga Vashishta, which is basically Mayavad. Which is not exactly Mayavad, it can be, but doesn't have to be. But Yoga Vashishta is basically emphasizing Gyan over Bhakti. It doesn't decry or offend Bhakti, but emphasizes Gyan. Gyan Marg is the path. Which means, because it's Yoga, Yoga Vashishta, the speciality of Yoga. Which means Gyan is superior to Bhakti. That's the basic theme. So we started preaching this, and the word came to the ears of Mahaprabhu. "Your Acharya is preaching Gyan is higher than Bhakti." "Huh? What? Acharya is preaching that Gyan is more than Bhakti? Doesn't he know Bhagavad Gita, Yoginam Apisarva, and the greatest yogi is a Madgad Kanaitan Atmana? He's Atmana, the Bhakti Yogi is in the one with the heart of Krishna. He's Atmana, he's in the heart of Krishna. Antar Atmana. He's Antar Atmana. He's unified with Krishna's heart, the Bhakti Yogi. Antaratmana, Yuktatmana, who is greater than that? No one. Nityananda, I think we should go set him straight, as they say, or correct him." So then Nityananda, there's many pastimes, they went to Advaita's house. The venue now became not Gangadas Pandit's house, or Shuklambara's house, or some other Murari's house. Now that became, the venue became Shantipur, Advaita Acharya's house. So Nitai, with Gaur, they went to Shantipur. on the way they met a Dari Sannyasi and had a very interesting pastime there. And then to purify themselves, they jumped in the Ganga because the Ganga flows down the Shantipur, so they could take a bath and also speedily go to Shantipur. When they got to Shantipur, because we're at the end of the story now, the very, very end of the story, which is where we're continuing, I'm giving some background. Then they came, and then Mahaprabhu, he said, Advaita, I heard that you're preaching this Yoga Vashishta philosophy. Is that correct? Yes, I am preaching Yoga Vashishta. And are you preaching that Gyan is superior to Bhakti? Yes, Gyan is superior to Bhakti. Ha! Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu grabbed him, took him outside, started beating him. Literally beating with his fist. And then Sita Devi, the wife of Advaita Charya, Mahaprabhu, stop, he's an old man. You can imagine a 7-foot-tall, 20-year-old man starts beating up an 85-year-old man. You wonder who's going to win. And I don't know how tall Advaita was, but he wasn't 7 feet tall, that's for sure. I'm sure he's a very robust personality, but nevertheless, it wasn't a fair match. So, and besides, Mahaprabhu was angry, and he wanted to teach him a lesson. What is this? You submit? And he said, no, then Advaita was telling his wife, be quiet, Sita Devi, this is mercy. Now he's going to kill you. Stop, my husband. So then Mahaprabhu beat Advaita severely. And then Advaita said, no, actually Bhakti is greater than Gyan. And he says, and then Lord Chaitanya says, you submit to my lotus feet, you surrender. Yes, I surrender to your lotus feet, you're my Prabhu. Yes, you're my servant, you surrender to Bhakti and you serve Bhakti Devi. And the waiter says, yes, this is all I want. And that's finally he accomplished his mission. He was accepted as a servant of Lord Chaitanya, enlisted as one of his Antaranga Bhaktas, no longer treated as the superior Acharya and Guru. Now he was enlisted as a student of Prema in the school of Mahaprabhu. And he went on to then glorify, Mahaprabhu with many wonderful shlokas which are contained in this Bhagavat, Chaitanya Bhagavat by Vrindavan Das Thakur. And then the chapter comes to kind of a conclusion here. This is chapter 19 of this Madhya Kanda. Vrindavan Das Thakur sings, Saraswati Jane Bala Ramera Kripai Sabha Jivaya Se Bhagavati Ghai. Vedavyas Vrindavan Das Thakur said, by the mercy of Balaram, Goddess Saraswati also knows these pastimes. That goddess glorifies these pastimes through the tongues of those who are qualified. So very interesting purport to elaborate on what this is saying. Sinanta Saraswati explains that by the mercy of Sri Baladev, Chaitanya's teachings or Shiksha, they are established on the tongues of those who engage in kirtan. Only those who have vowed to serve their spiritual master with awe and reverence are able to glorify the pastimes of Krishna. Shuddha Saraswati, the goddess of transcendental knowledge, dances on their tongues and releases waves of Krishna's glories. So Balaram, of course, he is the Shakti, he is the power behind Prachar. And he is the mercy that fuels the preaching on, and his form is Nityananda. So Nityananda opened the Nam Hat, the marketplace of the holy name, to distribute the holy name to all censorious purchasers. And when one purchases the holy name from Nityananda through one of his representatives, one of his agents, Sri Guru, then he engages in kirtan. And kirtan means spreading the truth. Kirti means the truth of God. This is kirti. So one who's engaged in spreading the truth, he's engaged in kirtan. The truth can be spread through mardanga, kartal, singing. You can sing the truth. You can write the truth. You can write about the truth by writing books. That's also kirtan. Prabhupada engaged in so much. He called it the brihad mardanga. Printing is the brihad mardanga. This is also kirtan. Writing, speaking, drama, chanting japa. All these are ways of spreading the truth, because kirti means that. The truth of God. Saraswati is the goddess of knowledge, and Shuddha Saraswati is the goddess of spiritual knowledge. So to broadcast the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one must be empowered by Nityananda Balaram, and one receives that power through kirtan. First, we become purified by Harinam Sankirtan. Then when we're sufficiently purified, we continue to broadcast not only pure Nam, but pure Kirti, or pure glories, or pure truth, through pure Nam, or through pure Nam expressed in song, in poetry, in prose, or writing books. So we see how Srila Prabhupada, he was so much engaged in this kirtan, this book kirtan. So these are the glories can be understood in this way. This is text 268. Sabha katara nahi jani anukram yete mate gaye matra krishna radikram. Vrindavanda says, I don't know the chronological order of these pastimes. Somehow or other, I am simply singing Krishna's glories. So the anukram, what the activities that happen one after the other. I don't know which came first. It's all just happening. I'm not thinking it. It's using me. I can't. This pastime is coming. And this often happens. It happens with Shukadeva Goswami also, when he's narrating Krishna Leela to Parikshit. Sometimes the chronology is not consistent in the 10th canto. He kills this demon, but actually this demon came after some other demon, or before Kurukshetra, or after Kurukshetra. So sometimes devotees, because Western devotees especially, have a linear way of thinking. They think in a very linear way, so it's very hard for them to grasp. So wait a minute, how is it that he's killing this demon, he's killing Duryodhana, and hasn't even been to Kurukshetra yet, or whatever. So the chronology, because at this level, because these pastimes are Krishna, he's Rasaraj. The Bhagavatam is about Krishna. The Gita is about Krishna. And the Chaitanya Bhagavat is about Krishna Chaitanya. So when a speaker, a Bhava Bhakti or a Premi Bhakti Bhakta like Shukadeva or Vyas, when they are speaking about Krishna, they're in Bhav, they're in Prem. And they're talking about Prema Mayi Krishna or Chaitanya. So whatever leelas that the Lord is saying, hey, this leela is coming. It's called Swarasikhi Upasana. Swarasikhi means that the river takes you where it wants to take you. If you fall in the Ganga, and the Ganga is in Mayapur going to Howrah, it may go to Howrah, but then there's so many branches. There's the Brahmaputra River in Bangladesh. It goes down this way, and it goes into different branches. So what, you may end up going one branch or another branch, wherever the river wants to take you. So Swarasikhi, when one enters the meditation of Krishna's Leela, at the level of Bhava, the Leela will take you to one Leela. Then you talk about Rajasuya sacrifice. And then the Leela, you're going in that river of Leela, then all of a sudden you go some branch of that same river, and now you're talking about killing some demon, which didn't even happen yet. And somebody says, hey, wait a minute, what's going on? It's not the story, what's going on? Because the thing is, the Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Bhagavat, and Chaitanya Bhagavat, and Srimad Bhagavat, they're not history books. They're Rasamayi Shastra. The Bhagavatam is a Prem Srupa of Radha and Krishna. So sometimes you may be, the lover may be focused on the face of the beloved. And other times they may be focused on the feet of the beloved. Sometimes Krishna's whole existence, sometimes the entire existence of Krishna is focused on one toenail of Radharani. Aparasiddhi vridhi digda sat padangalinake. His whole existence, his man, tan, don, his mind, heart, everything, his past, present, future, everything within Krishna is fixed on just a toenail of Radharani. So then how can he remember? He doesn't remember a face or hair or anything. Everything is there. So what to speak of the great Rasika Vaishnavas when they're speaking Harikata? Sometimes they go here, sometimes they go there. But they're writing, so they write a whole chapter. And we are students of history. We want chronology. When was he born and when did he die? We remember when we were compiling a book called Samadhis, Gaudiya Vaishnava Samadhis, and we included, most of the book is about biographies of the Vaishnavas in our calendar. They're all included there. So sometimes we have 20 pages of biography. This date he did this and this date he did that. And I was thinking, wow, what is the essence here? What is the essential teaching? What is the essential bhav? What is the essential ras? So sometimes I would sift through 20 pages to get two paragraphs. And I took those two paragraphs and put them in the book. So they're very short biographies, but at that time where I was, what I could realize, this is what was important to me. Not in this. In 1604, he graduated from Sanskrit school. In 1608, he was like, wait a minute, am I a history student or am I a student of love? Am I a student? What is our prayojana? History or love? Our prayojana is the history of love. No, our prayojana is that the conclusion is prem. So how we get there, history of course gives some support, some help, but that's not the real thing. But I do want you to go back in time. I want you to go back 500 years to this period now where Advaita's house, and this chapter is being wrapped up by Vrindavan Das Thakur, and it's a very happy ending. Now he's making some conclusions about it. Chaitanya Priyara Paye Mora Namaskar Ihate Je Aparada Shamaha Amar. I, Vrindavan Das Thakur, offer my obeisances at the feet of Lord Chaitanya's dear associates so they will forgive my offenses. This is very interesting, the approach to Harikatha. We approach Harikatha with humility and we walk away with humility. It's not exactly the way we approach a movie theater. We approach a movie theater on our 2 feet, running in line or running to get a ticket or whatever, and then we run out. But we approach Harikatha on our lying on our belly and doing Dandavat Pranams. If there's living katha going on, we approach the katha stali where the Bhagavad class is going on in Harikatha, and we offer Dandavats. First we offer Dandavats to the Shastra. The Bhagavatam, Ramayana. Oh, what is being spoken? Ramayana. Dandavat to Ramayana or to Bhagavatam. Then we offer Dandavat to Valmiki or Vyas. Who's ever speaking there? Ramakatha is spoken by Valmiki or by Hanuman, because Hanuman is glorifying his Lord. He's speaking Ramakatha. Now Dandavats to all the devotees of Rambhakta is assembled there. And then Dandavats to the holy stali, which I'm about to enter. I have no qualification to enter this Rasa stali, but I'm going to go there and sit down. I'm not going to run across the sitting mat with my muddy feet. That sitting mat is all sacred territory. I clean my feet first, I offer Dandavats, then I come and I sit on that mat. That mat is surcharged with Katha Shakti, Lila Shakti, Bhakti Shakti. Now I've approached with that humility required to receive something. No submission, no admission. No admission, no permission. And now the Katha is over. So do we just, okay, bye. Gotta go. Cell phone's ringing. Wife's calling. And run off. No, it's not like that. If you see, if you're sat with a traditional Harikatha, the Harikatha is over, and the person who is representing Vyasadeva, if it's Bhagavatam, he's speaking Vyasadeva, and all, he may be a young man, or lady, whatever, and nowadays these Barsani girls are going out giving Harikatha, 10, 12-year-old girls are going around India giving Bhagavad Sapta and singing songs. They're 10 years old, going to Bombay all over, who knows how many lifetimes before that. The katha, the pracharak, after the lecture, then he gets out the Vyasa-san, pays obeisance everywhere, then he sits down. Now he's not Vyasadeva anymore, he's the devotee. Now the kirtaniers, they all sit there and everyone stays there and they sing so many nice kirtans in Bengali to glorify the katha, to glorify the subject of the katha, to glorify the Vaishnava parampara. And then that speaker, he sits, he listens to everything, and very nice, and everyone in a very humble mood, remembering all the parampara, remembering Radha and Krishna, singing nice bhajans, a very humble, devout way. And then generally, he'll get up first, he'll get up, the speaker will get up, and then everybody else get up. Then he'll walk out, and people walk behind him. This is the traditional Harikatha. Vrindavan Das Thakur comes from this culture, the culture of Vyas. It's called Vyas culture, Bhagavat culture. The Vyas culture, Bhagavat culture. This is Vrindavan Das Thakur. So he's writing this Leela by his Samadhi Bhashya. By his Samadhi Bhashya, he's seeing these Leelas. He wasn't in these Leelas. He's the son of Narayani. Narayani sucked on the, the prasad? No, the toe was covered. Narayani got the prasadam directly from Mahaprabhu. So she was blessed. And Vrindavan Das Thakur is her son. But he wasn't in these leelas directly, but by his meditation, and he entered that leela, and then he's writing about it. So he's there attending. So now he's saying, "Oh, dandavats to all the devotees." Can you imagine? Can any of us even imagine for one moment? Have we ever done it once? With 365 Bhagavatam classes in 1 year, if we're really a card-carrying member of the Bhagavat. I'm not going to say ISKCON, I'll just say Bhagavat. We've attended 365 classes a year, 30 years. How many classes is that? 10,000 classes, roughly. So 10,000 classes. Have we ever once, after class is over, we pay obeisances and pay obeisances to the Bhagavatam? Oh, please, Bhagavatam, please forgive me if I made any offenses of being inattentive or falling asleep or looking at that funny Rajasthan guy with the big mustache, or, you know, or that guy with the big turban, and I spaced out, and, you know, he had this mustache 3 feet wide and went like this and like that, and I looked over there and said, please forgive me for my inattentiveness in hearing Bhagavatam. Please forgive me, I was dreaming about the breakfast. And whatever. And then offer obeisance to the speaker, and then offer obeisance to all the devotees. Oh, Matajis, please forgive me any offenses. And, you know, if I fell asleep and then you saw me sleeping and you got encouraged and you fell asleep. Like, you know, I'm sleeping, and so, oh, if he's sleeping, well, I can sleep too. So please forgive me, Matajis, please forgive me, Prabhus, for making any offenses. Have we ever once had this type of humble attitude of upon leaving? And here's Vrindavan Das Thakur, he's Veda Vyas. Vedash Chasavar Ahame Vedo, Vedanta Krid, Veda Veda, Vedanta Krid, this Vedanta Krid, it's him, Krishna. He's saying, I offer obeisances at the feet of all the dear devotees, so they'll forgive me, Shama, have compassion, forgive me for my offenses. Advaitara Grihi Prabhu Vanchi Katadin Navadvipe Dila Samahati Karitin. After staying for some time in the house of Advaita, Mahapur returned to Navadvip with the three Prabhus. So this is, in other words, they had some lovers' quarrel. Advaita ran off to Shantipur, and then he orchestrated his leela to get punishment from his beloved Prabhu, Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu punished him. And it's okay, let's go back to Mayapur. Advaita Prabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So the two Prabhus came and picked up the third Prabhu and said, okay, come on back. So now the three Prabhus are going back to Mayapur. So we're to be there. This is, of course, a very sketchy description, but now it's because we're not getting all the dialogue and the scenery in our mind to think at all the pieces together. That's the very tail end of it. But now the punishment has been given, the effect has been created, the desired effect that Advaita wanted was performed by the Lord, and now it's kind of like there's some anger, it's kind of husbands and wives, you know, they kiss and make up, they have this phrase, right? I'm Brahmachari. Husband and wife, they fight, and some gifts, oh please, and then, okay, I'm sorry, this, then they become okay again. And some Prabhus do it also. Prabhus get angry, envious with each other, and then they get hot-headed and this, that, then they hear some prasad and embrace, I'm sorry, and okay, life goes on. We're not pure devotees, we have a long way to go, all of us. So it's similar in a transcendental way, is for Leela, for teaching us and showing us the immense depth of the heart of the Lord's devotees, how they love each other and how they care for each other. It's not like, oh, okay, if you're not going to treat me like that, then forget it. I don't need you. I don't need you anymore. Get lost. I don't need you. You get lost. No, Mahaprabhu needs Advaita. Advaita needs Mahaprabhu. The devotees need each other. It's not a mutually exclusive society. It's a mutually inclusive society. Everyone needs everyone. Because it's an integrated unit. We're actually all part of the one. We're all part of Krishna's loving circle. If we're outside the circle, then we're estranged. We're incomplete, unfulfilled. We're in an anxious position because we're outside the Ras Mandali. We're meant to be in the Ras Mandali by cooperation, by submission and surrender. But ego doesn't allow it. Ego is the antithesis of cooperation and surrender. Ego keeps us out of the Ras Mandali. So Mahaprabhu comes to show and says, look, we get sometimes angry, the Parishas, but we don't have ego which prevents us from unifying. We get anger with love. Angry with love. Now we unify again. Okay, And Rachel went away from the circle. He left the Rasmandali. Rasmandalis and Shiva Sangam every night and during the day and house to house. Hey, so now they're coming back. So just see the scene. Shantipur, the three Brahmas together. Mahaprabhu's in the center. Nityananda's on his left. Advaita's on his right. Because Advaita's senior, so he's on the right. Nityananda's on his left. Mahaprabhu's in the center. And they're walking down the street. Maybe they're like this. The three musketeers, right? We had some show on Three Musketeers or something when I was a kid. Some TV show. So here they are, the three Prabhus. This is fraternal love. This is Sakiras, Dasiras. And there's so much Madhuri also. Are they only alone? These three are described. But so much is implied. It's called Parokshava. There's so much. Are you there also? Are you there? In your Gaur Sarup? Are you walking along? And are you just walking? Or are you carrying a chatra? Are you carrying an umbrella over them? Or are you fanning them? Are you carrying some water pot? Are you sprinkling some water in front of them? Are you running ahead to pick some flowers and picking out flower petals? There's unlimited streams in all directions that go from every lila, according to the depth of the bhava, the consciousness of the reader. The shloka is only pointing in the direction. It's only a signpost. The sign says New York, 50 miles. But how much of New York is represented by that sign? Have you ever been to Manhattan? The sign says New York City or Manhattan, 20 miles or 20 kilometers. That's just a small sign with a name on it, pointing the direction. But Manhattan, all the wonderful, amazing, whatever is in Manhattan is not in that sign. Shlokas are like signposts. They're like signs pointing the direction. There's unlimited. Every shloka is unlimited. How much we can see, how much we can receive, how much we can perceive. This is the Sadharani Shakti. This is the Shakti that Rupa Goswami is saying. This Lila Shakti, we say Lila Shakti Sadharani, it's generalization. The power, they have the power, the eternal associates of Krishna, Advaita, Mahaprabhu, all the Parishas and Lord himself, they have the power to put their bhava in our hearts, and that's the only place we get Siddha Bhavasya. The bhava has to come into our hearts from them. We make the field ripe and prepared by our surrender, by our submission, by our seva. Then the bhava is infused, it's given. Bhakti Lata Bija. It's coming. We have the field, we have the potential. Then it begins with seva. Guru gives the seed of seva, and the seva grows. And that seva becomes fragrant, that seva becomes pure, that seva develops a karshan. This is one of the symptoms of bhava, karshan, Krishna karshani. Seva develops the attractive quality to attract Krishna and his parishas. And then what do we attract? We attract the heart. What's in the heart? Bhava. That's the sun. Siddharani Shakti, that power, that potency of the heart enters our heart, then the flourishing begins, the flower opens, the fragrance emanates, the color illuminates the eyes, and the fragrance enervates the nose. And then soon that flower creates its effect, and then it goes deeper and condenses and comes out as fruit and gives ras. And that's prema. There's bhavakata, rasakata. Next verse. It's beautiful. They're all going back to Mayapur. Nityananda Advaita Tritiya Haridas Eighteena Sangi Prabhu Aila Nijavas. Thus the Lord returned to his home accompanied by Nityananda Advaita and Haridas. Oh. Last verse there's only three. Now there's four. Last verse said, oh, Teen Prabhu. So you only read one verse. Oh, Teen Prabhu. I only see three Prabhus. But if you took this one verse, which is only describing three Prabhus, and you meditate, this is called Mantra Upasana, you meditate deeply on this one mantra, and chant Nam, and pray to those teen Prabhus, and pray to Vrindavan Das Thakur, and pray to Chaitanya Bhagavat itself, which is its own entity. The Shastra is also a separate entity. Pray to Chaitanya Bhagavat, and pray to Bhakti Shakti, and pray to Sri Gurudev, and pray to Parampara. There's more in this. I know there's unlimited streams, and this Shastra is only a signpost. There's unlimited facets and features and follies and frolics in this shloka. Please reveal them to me. So you'll look at this one shloka, and then you can cover your hands over the next 10 shlokas. And just look at this shloka, and say, oh, I'm seeing Haridas, and I'm seeing Jagannatha Pandit, and I'm seeing this happen, I'm seeing that happen. Hey, look! This happened, that happened. Whoa. What's this happening? There's some mystic potency. I'm seeing the future? No, this is called Siddharani Shakti. This is the potency. Swapara Sambandha. That our relationship becomes mixed with their relationship, and our relationship becomes elevated to the relationship they have. We have Bhav, and they have Ras and Prem Ras. So when their Ras and Prem comes into our heart, our Bhava Mayi Bhakti becomes Rasa Mayi Bhakti, and then we taste Bhakti Ras. Then Nayanam Gavadashidarya Varanam Gadadavriyagira. And then Yugayata Namesham, when we taste that Rasa, and then that Rasa slips from our consciousness, and we come to Bhaya consciousness, Bhaya Chit, and then, so sweet taste, such nice experience. Where? Krishna Kahan. And the Haridas is there. Shunila Vaishnava Sabha Aila Thakur Daya Aila Sabha Ananda Prachur. When all the Vaishnavas heard, the Lord has come, they came running in great ecstasy. Thakur. This is the word for Lord. Thakur. We say Thakurji. Sometimes you go to some devotee's house. So, what is your deity's name? Oh, it's my Thakurji. They say, what is this Thakurji? Is it some Indian thing or something? I mean, in America and Europe, Russia, this is my Radha Krishna deities. My Radha Krishna deities, my Gornitai deities. Now you live in Vrindavan for a couple of years. There's Thakurji. What is this Thakurji? This is Sahajiyabhav. Radha should be. The Radha Krishna deities. See, look at the Radha Krishna deities. See, there they are. Or there it is. Sometimes the it also. See the deity, it. But our acharyas, our Mahajanacharyas are saying, Thakur Mahaprabhu, Thakur Advaita, Thakur Nityananda. This is my Thakurji, Gornitai Thakurji. Hey, where do you get these crazy ideas? Oh, I get these crazy ideas from Vrindavan Das Thakur. This morning, along the same line, I heard a very wonderful thing. I was frankly standing, my ears were standing on end, or not my hair, but my ears. Because I'm not in a level of bhava, but at least my ears can stand on end. I heard this, it's a conversation from 1975 in Perth, Australia, by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Srila Prabhupada's Bhajan Kuti Ki. I mean, I've heard these tapes so many times, hundreds of times, but I just don't remember this statement. You can hear it, it's in Perth, 1975. Room conversation. And Prabhupada said, just like in our society, so many people say, Prabhupada said, so many people say Prabhupada said, but I never said. And all the devotees started laughing, said, Prabhupada, that's right. And that was true in 1975. What to speak of now? Oh, I've been in India for 22 years, I suppose. I came in September of 87. Mostly I'm associating with India Bhaktas of my Guru Bhais from Delhi, Bombay, etc. And I heard thousands and thousands of statements. Maharaj, you know, Prabhupada said. I said, really? They say so many things. Prabhupada said. And so I heard so many things. So I generally reply and say, yes, Prabhu. Yes, yes, Krishnadas. You are quite correct. I read that in chapter 19 of the Bhagavad Gita. That's in chapter 19. Chapter 19 of the Bhagavad Gita purport. Isn't it there? Yeah, I think it's there, Maharaj, chapter 19. Or no. Or sometimes I say, I think it's in the 13th canto. 13th, you know, Taylor. There's only in Bhara, you know. There's only 12 Bhara Skanda. And then they're so smart. Yeah, Maharaj, I think it's there. They don't even know how many cantos are in the Bhagavatam or chapters in the Gita. But they're very convinced that, yes, Prabhupada said. It's very amusing. I never remembered hearing Prabhupada himself say this. So many people in our movement are saying Prabhupada said, but I never said. This is humility. It opens the door to everything. So everyone's running in great ecstasy. The Thakur has come. Deki sarva tapahari se chandra vadan dalaya charana sabhi kare rodan. This is life. Life is seeing and touching. Our George Harrison, our George Harrison sang a song. My sweet Lord, the basic lines I remember. My sweet Lord, he said, I really want to see you now, my Lord. I really want to feel you. Basically, he said, I want to feel you. So he's saying, oh my Lord, I want to see you. I want to touch you. Because there's something special in seeing and touching. If a man sees a beautiful woman, then what does he think? Next. I don't mean money. That she'll take this from you, your money. She'll take your taka. You know, this means taka also. You know, hey, taka. Paisa, rupees, rubles, peso. You know, lira, marks, money. But this means you want to touch. But the devotees, Thakur says, this verse just says, what we heard is that Deki Sarvatap Chandravadan. Deki Sarvatap, everything that was burning. Tap means burning. Sarva means everything. Everything was burning. Everything burns without love. If you don't have love, your mind burns. Your senses burn. Your heart burns. You know, you ever heard of heartburn? Oh, I have heartburn. Too many chilies. No, heartburn is from lack of spiritual love. It burns the heart. So everything burns. Sarvatap. Everything's burning. Mind, heart, senses, life, values, objectives, energy. Everything burns up in that fire of absence of love. So sarvatap. Deki sarvatap. It says, what does it say? It says, deki sarvatap. Hare. And how did it happen? Chandravadan. All the burning in the heart, the Vaishnavas, Mahabhu and Nityananda had left. They had left Mayapur to go 25 kilometers south of Shantipur and spend some time there. With that Leela, Advaita's Leela. And in the absence of everything, they were burning up without their beloved. How can you be happy? How can you not burn without your beloved? If you really love someone, if you're separated, you burn. If you don't love someone, if they go away, come say, come sa. They come, they go, what do I care? And then they call up from China. Your husband's on business. Hello, what's the first thing they say? Do you miss me? The first thing someone says when they call their husband or wife, do you miss me? And then actually the answer is no. Actually the answer is no, I don't miss you, but I don't want to make you feel bad. So I say, oh yeah, I really miss you, blah, 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 blah. Because there's no real love in this material world, so you can't really miss anyone because you don't really love anyone. But in the spiritual domain, everyone loves everyone. Even the earth loves Krishna, and the earth feels separation without Krishna's touch, and she cries. The earth feels separation from Krishna's loving touch of his feet. Everything and everyone feels separation from Krishna, because he's the beloved of everything and everyone in Vrindavan. And they all feel the intensity of a separation. They burn. Sarvatap, the trees are burning when Krishna leaves every evening, afternoon with the cows. The birds are burning. The Yamuna is burning. When he comes back, then all the flowers close up and they're suffering in top. When he returns, they open. Winter, spring, it doesn't matter. They open and blossom. Sarvatap, deki sarvatap, hare, hare means gone, it's gone. How did everything go? By seeing Chandravadan. By seeing the moon-like face of Mahabhu, the moon-like face of Nittai, and the moon-like face of Advaita. And the fire was out. The love light was on. Their hearts were melting. Just by seeing the face, they felt so much relief. So now they saw them. What's the second verse? Then from a distance they saw, oh, here they come, Thakurji, Thakur is coming back. Team Prabhus are coming back. Wonderful, wonderful. So this is Sadharani Karan, to enter the hearts of those devotees, be one of those Mayapura Bhaktas, greeting those three Prabhus, and feeling that tap that they were feeling. Each one of these words should enter into our mind and hearts. Like him. He's entering into his mind and heart, which is so deeply entering. They were feeling. What is that top they were feeling? Why were they burning? Why were they in this anxiety? What was causing it? Separation. What separation? From the beloved. Why they love. How they love. And then you see how Shastra comes alive. But we were like, hey. If we're alive, Shastra's alive. Oh, I read these books, these Hare Krishna books. They're so boring. It's all the same old thing. Hare Krishna, every page. Every page just saying, every page just surrender to Guru Chan, Hare Krishna. Every page, I read the Bhagavad Gita, every page, surrender to Guru, Chan, Hare Krishna, surrender to Guru, you're wasting your life, Chan, Hare Krishna, surrender to Guru. Oh, okay, all right, already. Okay, I did that, now what? Oh, okay, I surrendered to Guru, Chan, Hare Krishna, now what? Now, wake up, Jeev Jago, progress and surrender more, grow more, become more Jeev, more Jago, more life, more growing, more Uto, more getting up. And then see what happens with the Shastras. Same old becomes brand new. Anurag. At every breath, at every step, at every word. They just seeing the face, the moon-like face, they become so relieved. And then they start running. They're already running. The previous verse said they're running. Running for what? To see. Like some man sees some beautiful woman at a distance. Well, so I better run a little closer. Oh, ooh. She's a beautiful face. Oh, now, and the next part of the verse says, Darya Charna Sabe Kaviya Rodan. Darya Charna. Darya Charna means that they fell at the feet of the Lord and they grasped His feet. They held onto His lotus feet. Mahaprabhu, especially Mahaprabhu, and Rodan, they started crying, oh my Lord, they're crying and crying. So it's only a few words depicting oceans of meaning and so many beautiful scenes. And that depends on the screen of our minds and heart, how much we can see and feel. But we're so dull, everything has to be done for us and done to us. But Leela doesn't, you can't enter Leela that way. Leela is by submission, by purity, and by Kripa. We entered Leela, and that's where we want to live. We want to live in Leela. We want to live. You say, I want to live in Vrindavan. What does live in Vrindavan mean? Go get a lassi in front of Bankim Bihari? That's Vrindavan. Living Vrindavan means living in the Leela of Krishna and Gaur. We're here. We're here. We're in, hearing this Leela. They're holding onto His feet, and there's room for all the devotees. It's not like we only have 2 feet. There's hundreds of devotees in Mayapur. Yoga Maya adjusts everything. When the coward boys went out with Krishna on the banks of the Yamuna, right here at Raman Reti and had lunch, they were staying at Chatikar, 7 kilometers here. They would come here to the banks of the Yamuna, the lonely place, with the cows in pasture here. When they're 6 years old, he started taking out cows at Chatikar. He's 6, 7, 8. He was there for 2.5 years in Chatikar. Then on to Nandagam. They come to Raman Reti to Yamuna. Yamuna, then they would put all the cows under the kadamba trees, and then they would bathe and frolic and open up their tiffins. And every boy wanted to share his tiffin with Krishna. There's thousands of boys. How's it going to happen? You have to get a ticket and sit in row number 75 or something? Or sit in the bleachers way up on the top somewhere trying to see this action? No, Krishna expanded. He was in front of each boy, exchanging tiffins. Oh, you take my rasgullas, I'll take your rubbery. You take my kachori, I'll take your sandesh. Trading, marketing, or whatever it is, trading. So same thing, when Mahaprabhu came back, everyone got a chance to hold on to his feet. His feet expanded for everyone to hold on to. Imagine if we were there when we saw the face of Mahaprabhu, we ran and we fell and clasping, holding his feet. Charanadharya. Charanadharya. Like Haladar, Murlidar, Dara. Danardar, holding the bow, holding the flute, holding the plow. Let us start here. Charanadharya. Dharya. Holding the feet of Guru. Sri Guru Charana. Right, we say? Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. Holding the feet of Guru. Guru's feet gives Gaur's feet. Gaur's feet gives Radha's feet. Radha Charan. Gaura Chandra Mahaprabhu Sabara Jivan Sabare Karila Prabhu Prima Alingan. Gaura Chandra Mahaprabhu, the life and soul of everyone. Sabara Jivan. He embraced each one of them with love. Prima Lingana. Sabari Prima Lingana. This verse emphasizes the tattva that I just spoke. One Bhakta, one Krishna. Lover, beloved. They say two's company, three's a crowd. And there's one girl and 2 boyfriends, it's a problem. Right? But here, the beloved is Krishna, the object of love, Vishaya. Prem Vishaya is Krishna, Prem Ashraya is a devotee. There's so many unlimited devotees, and there's so many unlimited Krishnas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced each one of them. They're like, okay, everybody, thank you. I'm very happy to meet everybody. Welcome. Thank you. I'm very happy that you all came to greet me back to Mayapur. It's a very wonderful welcome. Nice fireworks and all these things. Thank you very much. I pray for the betterment. Oh, well, this is general limited condition soul can only do this. Raise up his hands and say, thanks everybody, Hari Bol. Or maybe his chief local governor, or local panchayat or something, embrace the local representative or whatever. Mahaprabhu, every devotee got embraced by Mahaprabhu. Kripa. There's no limit. Love is limitless. This is spiritual love. There is no limit. Otherwise, it's not transcendental love. There's no limit to the access. There's no limit to the distribution. Distribution is unlimited. The access is unlimited. And how does it go on? Is it just some, okay, hi, Bo, nice to see you. Oh, Prabhu, nice to see you. Hi, Bo, goodbye. I think we sometimes embrace two Prabhus or two ladies that haven't seen each other 10 years. Oh, okay, okay. Next verse tells, Sabe Karilena Advaitere Namaskar. Oh, no. Sabe Prabhur Nija Vigraha Saman Sabe Udhar Bhagavatera Pradhan. The devotees were equal to the Lord's own body. They were magnanimous and topmost devotees of the Lord. Sabe Karilena Advaitere Namaskar Jare Bhakti Karane Chaitanya Avatar. All the devotees offered obeisances to Advaita, by whose devotion Mahaprabhu incarnated. So they showed their gratitude. They're all embracing Mahaprabhu and touching his feet. But that was only possible by Advaita. If Advaita didn't bring the Lord down, they couldn't see the Lord and have all their top dissipated. They couldn't embrace the Lord or hold on to his feet. It's only by the mercy of Advaita, the Guru. He's the Guru. So we never forget Guru, whatever gifts are given, whatever accomplishments are acquired, whatever progress is made, whatever achievements are attained, it's only by Guru Kripa Kevalam, by the mercy of Sri Guru. It's not that, well, maybe 10 years later after getting some treasure, we remember, oh, actually this was by Guru's grace. Immediately on the spot, immediately they're being embraced by Mahaprabhu to their heart's content and becoming one with the loving heart of Mahaprabhu. But at the same time, they're remembering this is only possible by Advaita. So therefore, we cannot separate Guru from Krishna at any time. Guru is the giver of Krishna. Krishna is the giver of Guru. Guru is the giver of Krishna. So we can never separate Guru from Krishna. If you're with Mahaprabhu, then a split second they're with Advaita. Because Guru is always in the consciousness of the pure devotee. They're side by side, Guru and Krishna. So they're embracing Mahaprabhu. It's not like, okay, I'm in bliss, I'm in ecstasy now. Prema Lingana, Mahaprabhu, Rasaraj, Mahabhav is embracing me. I forget the world. No. Oh. Advaita, Jai Advaita, it's only by your mercy. So even in the highest states of absorption, the highest states of divine ecstasy, one doesn't forget Guru. Oh, now I made it. It's not like some yogi attains perfection. He becomes the siddha. He becomes the siddha. He has all mystic cities, so he doesn't need his guru anymore. Guru taught him, now he flies off. The bird gets his wings, the mother teaches him how to fly from nest to branch, from nest to branch and back, and then one day he flies off, that's it. Doesn't remember his mother anymore, doesn't see her. But the devotional yogi is not like that, because bhakti is inseparable from guru. Anande haile matte Vaishnava sakal sabhi kari prabhu sange Krishna kolahal. All the Vaishnavas became intoxicated with ecstasy as they discussed the topics of Krishna with Lord Gauranga. Putra deki ai haila anande vival vaddu sange grihe kore Govinda mangal. Mother Shachi became overwhelmed with ecstasy on seeing her son. She and her daughter-in-law prayed to Govinda for auspiciousness. That means they prayed to Krishna for auspiciousness for this. She was very happy that Gaurasundara had returned home. And she was so happy that her whole house was becoming filled with intoxicated Vaishnavas, vibrating the topics of Krishna. She became most jubilant. So this is a pretty interesting mother and mother-in-law. Mother Sachi is completely ecstatic to see her son engaged in Hari Katha inside her house. That's a very unusual mother. Oh, my son, all the Vaishnavas have assembled in my house and they're all intoxicated, relishing Hari Katha with my son. How glorious, how wonderful. And then as a mother-in-law of, she's a mother-in-law of Vishnu Priya, so she's also happy. Oh, it's so wonderful. She's watching with her daughter-in-law how Gaurasundar was absorbed. She became so pleased. So we would only hope that our mothers would be so happy to see our houses transformed into houses of bhakti filled with intoxicated Vaishnavas. But generally our mothers and fathers say, if you ever bring a Hare Krishna into this house, then I can't tell you what I'm going to do. Some mothers and fathers are so receptive. So this is their misfortune. Mother Sachi, that's her greatest fortune and happiness. Iha bali bara shakti sahasravaram ye prabhu amar janma janmara jivan. Only the thousand-headed Lord Shesh, who is my life and soul, birth after birth, has the power to describe Gaur Lila. Dvijavipra brahmana je hinanam ved he mata ved nityananda baladev. Just as Dvijavipra and brahmanas are different only in name, nityananda baladev are similarly different only in name. Nityananda Balarama ki Advaita Grihete Prabhu Jato Kaila Keli Iha Jay Shune Se Payase Meli. Anyone who hears the pastimes that took place in Advaita's house will join in such pastimes. So all the preface I was giving about entering the Leela Sadharani Shakti and Sadharani Karan is being reiterated here by with the Shruti fall of the author Vrindavan. He's saying you will, we will enter these pastimes, this Nitya Leela Gauranga Nitin Prabhu. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Chanda Jan Vrindavana Dasa Tachu Parajugagan. Accepting Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Prabhu is my life and soul, I Vrindavan Das sing the glories of their lotus feet. And may Prabhupada bless all of you and myself included with some understanding of the depth of these pastimes and the mercy to enter them. Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat Ki Jai.